And thank you for a very beautiful song and certainly a wonderful message. We do need the Lord in every moment of every day. Well, I'll just mention we could use some more choir members, so if you've got your voice and you know you've been hiding it under a bushel, now would be the time to join the choir. So encourage some more folk to come out. You might have noticed there when all the folk went down for the orchestra, there was me and my mom standing up there. Looks a little bad. So, you know, got some more people up there in the choir there. So if you can sing, come on and join us in the choir. It's always a good ministry. At least I enjoy it. We have a good time and enjoy the fellowship one with another. And I think you'll enjoy it too. So come on out and sing the praises of the Lord with us. Well, we're going to continue our study in the matter of the millennium. We're looking at the reign of Christ. When Christ comes back and he rules and reigns upon this world, what will a life be like when Christ is the ruler over this wonderful world, this world in which we live? The conditions that will be existent in that time will be much different than the conditions that we find today. Today we find there are many difficulties, there are problems, there's unemployment, there's famine, there is war, there is all kinds of troubles that are facing us today. But you know, when Christ returns, things were going to get better. The Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign over a world that will be different than what we live in today. A world in which things will be such a, the characteristics of that world will be to us an encouragement. And they, I think, are to us an inducement, a thing to move us to be a different kind of people. And so as we look at some of these qualities that will characterize the age, I hope it will move us and encourage us to put those things in our own lives and to be the kind of people we ought to be. Well, as we think of these qualities that will be there, one of the qualities that we will find will be the quality of peace. Now, there'll be peace because the Lord Jesus himself will come and will establish peace. The armies of the world will be united together in their rebellion against God. And Christ will return, and with him the armies of heaven, and he will speak the word, and the armies of this world that have risen up in rebellion against him will be destroyed. There will be a judgment in which all of the ungodly will be judged. And so, going into the millennium, there will be only those who love the Lord. There will only be those who are saved and go into the millennium. And so this world will be united under the rule of Christ. Now that doesn't mean that there will be no other kingdoms. There will be other nations. The Lord will still have, there will be kings that are spoken of who will bring their glory in. And so there will be other nations and rulers. But the Lord Jesus will be the supreme ruler. He will be the great King of kings and Lord of lords, as was the condition in the Old Testament times when the empires would rule. Still, kings who had submitted would be allowed to rule and reign. But over them, there was others who were in charge. And the Lord Jesus will be that one who is in charge. And as a result of this peace that will come throughout the world, there will be great prosperity that will follow because the armies of the world will no longer be needed. Let's go back to the book of Isaiah and we'll look at some of these statements that Isaiah makes concerning these matters. We'll go through just passages in Isaiah. There are passages all through the scripture which refer to this time. But we're just going to look in the book of Isaiah to make it a little easier to turn to. And we'll find here some qualities that are mentioned. Now, in Isaiah chapter 2, beginning back at the beginning of the book, in Isaiah chapter 2, and verse number 4, we find the first of these qualities of the millennium, which mention the matter of peace. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse number 4 says, "And he shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And what a wonderful time that will be when the Lord has put down all war and all rebellion and all sin, and the armies of this world will no longer need the giant ships and the airplanes and the tanks and the guns And all of these things, these armaments, shall be converted over to productive uses, to create food and to create wealth for the people of this world. What a change that will be. Over in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 5 through verse 7, we see another thing. In Isaiah 9, verse 5, it says, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning of fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with justice and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." And so the battles and the armaments will be gone. Those things will be burned up and removed. And the Lord Jesus, that wonderful counselor, that mighty God, that everlasting Father, will rule and reign. And of his government there will be peace. And of that peace, there will be no end. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 11, in verse 6 through 9. 11 in verse 6 through 9. It says, "The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand upon the cockatrice's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." Not only will there be a peace amongst the nations and upon the peoples that live in this world, but even a peace shall result upon the animals. "For their nature shall be changed. No longer will they destroy and kill, but there will be peace in this world." Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 32, Isaiah 32 in verse 17 and 18. Isaiah 32 verse 17 and 18. "And the work of the righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." Won't that be a wonderful day when we dwell in peace, when righteousness is the rule of the day, and there is no fear, and we dwell in quiet resting places? What a blessing that will be. Over in Isaiah chapter 54, Isaiah 54, and verse number 13. Isaiah 54, verse 13. It says, "All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and they shall, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Won't it be wonderful when our children know the Lord and there is peace, when there is great peace? Wonderful day that will be when the Lord rules and reigns. Over in chapter 55, and verse number 12, it says, "For he shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Won't that be a wonderful day when even nature itself joins with us in the praise of God because of the peace that has been brought to this world? No longer will nature be groaning and travailing in turmoil. No longer will the plates of the earth be banging against each other and volcanoes erupting and earthquakes shaking this globe. This will be a changed world in which even the mountains and the hills shall sing forth the praise of God. That'll be a choir, won't it? Wow, what a choir that'll be when even the hills join in and sing with us. Praise be to God. Let's go over to chapter 60 and verse 18. Chapter 60. In verse 18, it says, "Violence shall be no more heard in the land, wasting and destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt be called the walls of salvation, and thy gates praise." What a blessing that will be. No longer will there be wasting. No longer will there be violence. There won't be any trouble. The walls are going to be called salvation. The gates referred to as peace. What a blessing is coming for those of us who know the Lord. Over in Isaiah 65 and verse number 25. Isaiah 65 and verse 25. It says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Peace will be the order of the day. Even nature will know the peace of God." And then one last reference in Isaiah 66 and verse 12. It says, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck, and ye shall be borne upon her sides, and be dandled upon her knees." And so here we find that God is going to bring about a complete changing and a restoration of the situation of the nation of Israel. God says that He will extend her peace like a river, something that will just flow over everything, that will cover all. There will be peace in that land. And she will be comforted, even as a child is sitting on a, you know, on your lap and you bounce them up and down, dandled on your lap. What a blessing will be in that day when God brings peace. This is the characteristic of the millennial period in which the Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign. Wouldn't you like to be a part of that kingdom? Yes, it's wonderful to be an American. It's wonderful to be here in this land. But you know, I'd rather be in the kingdom of the Lord Jesus. When Christ rules and reigns, when He sits upon that throne. And that's the realm that we are looking forward to. So that's one of the characteristics. Another characteristic that is given to us is the matter of joy. Joy is going to be a distinctive mark of that day. Not only will we be peaceful, but not peaceful in the sense of, you know, being maybe, under a drug and, you know, you're kind of peaceful, yes, but you're just kind of, you know, vegging out there. No, it's not that kind of a peace. It will be a real peace that comes with a joy in the heart. Let's look at some passages again. We'll just look in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, back in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 3 and 4, Isaiah 9, back in verse 3 and 4, it says, "Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of burden and the staff off his shoulder and the rod of oppressor as in the day of Midian." And so there God has multiplied the nation and yet he has not yet increased the joy. But there's coming a day when that joy will be increased. When God will multiply and joy will be the order of the day. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 12 in verse 3 through verse 6. Isaiah 12. In verse 3 through verse number 6, he says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day ye shall say, Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. In the midst of thee, there will be joy in that day. Joy. We will draw out joy from the wells of salvation. I know sometimes in this world, there is maybe a lack of joy. Even amongst the hearts of Christians, sometimes we feel weighed down and burdened. And we feel the oppression of the day and the difficulty of the battle and the struggles that must go on and the worries and concerns of life. But you know, there's coming a day when there's going to be peace, when there's going to be righteousness, when there will be joy, fullness of joy. Just draw it out of the well of salvation and drink down the joy of the Lord. Over in Isaiah 14, verse number 7 and 8. Isaiah 14, verse 7 and 8. He says, "The whole world, the whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, Since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. What a blessing that will be when even the trees are rejoicing because peace has come, because God's people are rejoicing in Him. In Isaiah chapter 25, Isaiah 25, verse 8 through 9. Isaiah 25, verse 8 through 9. He says, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall be taken away from off all the earth. For the Lord hath spoken it, and it shall be said that in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. And so it describes a day when God's people will see Christ returning, and we will shout for joy and praise because God has saved our souls. You ever get discouraged thinking, where is the promise of His coming? Maybe I'm the only one who feels discouraged sometimes. You know, God says, wait, but there is coming a day when the Lord is going to come. Hallelujah, He's promised us He's coming. His return will come, and He will establish that throne for us. In Isaiah chapter 30, and verse number 29, Isaiah 30, in verse 29, it says, Ye shall have a song, and in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, a gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come unto the mountain of the Lord, unto the mighty one of Israel. It will be a day of gladness. Even when we gather together for the sacred feasts and assemblies of the Lord, it will not be with downtrodden hearts and discouragement and, oh, woe is me. It will be with joy that we will come to the house of the Lord. Joy in our hearts. Isaiah 52 and verse number 9. Isaiah 52 and verse number 9. He says in Isaiah 52 in verse 9, Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted His people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Break forth into joy, because God has redeemed. And you know, even today, in the midst of our troubles and all of the things that are going on, God has redeemed our souls, hasn't He? He has saved us. And so we ought to be a people who break forth into singing. That's why we sing when we come together to church. Now, I realize sometimes we don't all know the songs. And, you know, some of us have trouble singing. You know, the old saying, you can't carry a tune in a bucket, you know, etc. But, you know, those kinds of things like that. But, you know, one day we're going to get a new voice. We'll be able to sing. We'll all be able to sing. We'll all be in the choir. What a blessing that will be when we can gather together and sing the praises of God. And even today, there ought to be a song in our heart and a joy upon our lips. You know, we as God's people ought to have the song of God upon us because of the salvation that we have in Christ Jesus. Over in Isaiah chapter 60, in verse number 15. Isaiah 60, in verse number 15. It says, Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy among many generations. Israel is going to be a joy, a place of joy. God's people, the place of God's presence, the place of the nation's ruling will be joy in that day. God is going to make it all right. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 7. Not chapter 60, 61, verse 7. It says, For your shame ye shall have double, and your confusion ye shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in the land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. God's people have known the difficulties. We've known the troubles. We've known the heartache and the burdens. God says, I'm going to restore to you double. That reminds me of what God said to Job. God took of Job his children. He took of him his wealth. And what did God give him back? He gave him back double of everything he lost. God promises to restore that which we have lost. God will restore to us, yea, double. Chapter 61, verse 10 says, "And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For He hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." Now, you know, the wedding day is usually a rather happy day for most of us. Okay? Now, I realize maybe somebody got, you know, the old shotgun wedding. But most people, it's a happy day, you know, when you go down the aisle there for the wedding. I don't remember a lot about our wedding in that, you know, I was a bit nervous on that day. But I do remember being quite happy. And, you know, my wife, she wanted to take the pictures before the wedding. And I said, no, I don't want to fake happiness, you know, smiling. I'm not really good at smiling. So, you know, I didn't want to do it. I said, no, we'll do them afterwards. So we did the pictures afterwards. And I was happy. And I had nice smiles, you know. And they were real smiles of joy and happiness. A wedding day is usually a happy day. It's a day of rejoicing and gladness, you know. Your heart is full of joy. This is what the Lord describes it as in that day. He said it'll be like a wedding day, a day when we'll be decked out and excited and happy and joyful. This will be the characteristic of 1,000 years. Can you imagine such joy that will be upon us during that time? Isaiah chapter 65, verse 18 through 19. Isaiah 65, verse 18 and 19. He says, "But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." What a blessing it will be when God says, "I joy in you." Now, sometimes we recognize that God maybe doesn't rejoice in us. We recognize within us there's sin and iniquity, and there's not that which is pleasing unto Him. But there's coming a day when He will rejoice in us. This old body will be changed, and a new nature given to us, a new nature to this whole world will be known. Isaiah 66 and verse number 10. Isaiah 66 and verse number 10 says, "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice with joy with her, all ye that mourn for her." I think that speaks of us as the people of God, the church. We are given that wonderful joy of rejoicing with her in that day. And it says in verse 14, "And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward His servants, and His indignation toward His enemies." God is coming to a day when we shall be changed. Yea, even these old bodies shall rejoice and flourish. Our bones will break forth with new strength and energy. No longer will be weak and, you know, frail and full of sickness and burdens and all of those things. That's going to be gone. Joy will be the order of the day. Peace will reign everywhere upon the world because the Prince of Righteousness sits upon the throne. Now, folks, that's where we're going. And I'll stop it there. We've got a whole bunch more. But I'll stop there before running you through a bunch more scriptures. That's where we're going. That's what's coming. That's our lot. Shouldn't that be an encouragement to us to live like that now? To have a little bit of that peace right now? To know the peace of God in our hearts and let that peace of God rule in our hearts? As we are instructed there in the book of Thessalonians, "The peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Should we not enjoy that even now? Should we not rejoice evermore? And again I say rejoice, as Paul says there in Thessalonians. See, these great principles that Paul brings out in the book of Thessalonians, these are not new thoughts. These are thoughts from the Old Testament. God has had this plan for His people for all time and eternity. We just got it in a simple form, you know, easy to find and simple to put down. I thank the Lord for that because I'm kind of simple. So that helps out. God makes it for us to be that way. What a blessing we have in Christ. Should that not encourage us? Shouldn't we have a joy in our hearts and a smile on our face? Shouldn't we be able to go forth and serve the Lord with greater vigor and strength than we've ever done before? This is what God has for us. Peace and joy. And I encourage you to take of that joy and enjoy that peace even now. Now, there's somebody here who doesn't know Christ. You've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You don't have that peace yet because that peace of God has not been given to you. The peace of God comes when there is peace between my soul and God. When I can go to Him and have fellowship with Him. If I've never trusted Christ, then I can't do that. Because between me and God, there's sin. There's iniquity. There's wickedness. There are the things that I have done that are wrong. And so I cannot come to God. I can't have peace of God. I don't have the joy of the Lord. And so I need to turn from my sins and trust the Savior. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. We need to turn our backs upon our iniquity and trust Jesus Christ. Believe that message that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He's ascended back up to heaven. He's coming again for us. Believe that message. Trust Christ to forgive you of your sins and save your soul. You can have that joy of the Lord. We as God's people need to take this as a warning, as an encouragement, and as an inducement that we might live in peace and joy. Let's bow for prayer. Father,